As we continue our series through the Heidelberg Catechism, we've come to Lord's Day 29. But before we read from Lord's Day 29, we're going to turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You may remember from last week we read a section out of 1 Corinthians 10 and looked at 1 Corinthians 11 as well, and the significant teaching here contained concerning the celebration of the Lord's Supper. So we're going to read the opening of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, just the first four verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that's found on page 1111. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the first four verses. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. And it's this spiritual food and drink that is the focus of our consideration this evening. And then let's turn in the back of our Psalter hymnals to Lord's Day 29. Lord's Day 29. We have this week and next week. With Lord's Day 30, we'll be concluding our consideration of the Lord's Supper, concluding the sacrament section. So we're going to be reading from Lord's Day 29, starting with question and answer 78. That's page 885. Question and answer 78, do the bread and wine become the real body and blood of Christ? And the answer is no. Just as the water of baptism is not changed into Christ's blood and does not itself wash away sins, but is simply a divine sign and assurance of these things, so too the holy bread of the Lord's Supper does not become the body of Christ itself, even though it is called the body of Christ in keeping with the nature and language of sacraments. 79 says, why then does Christ call the bread his body and the cup his blood, or the new covenant in his blood? And Paul used the words of participation in Christ's body and blood. And the answer is that Christ has good reason for these words. He wants to teach us that just as bread and wine nourish the temporal life, so too his crucified body and poured out blood are the true food and drink of our souls for eternal life. But more important, he wants to assure us by this visible sign and pledge that we, through the Holy Spirit's work, share in his true body and blood as surely as our mouths receive these holy signs in his remembrance, and that all of his suffering and obedience are as definitely ours as if we personally had suffered and made satisfaction for our sins. And that's as far as reading in the Catechism this evening. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what's in a promise? Or what is the importance of a promise? How often do we make promises that we don't intend or cannot keep? Has anyone ever told you when you loan them a little bit of money or they buy something for you, I'll pay you back, only to forget or to neglect to pay you back? Or children, have you ever promised your parents, I promise to pick this toy up when I am finished doing whatever I am doing, only to forget and to be distracted into something else? Human beings seem to be very prone to say things, to promise things, without the ability or the intention to do that which they promise. Now, this past week, I found it's striking in an article on promises that says this. When we promise to love someone, what we really mean is this. I promise to love you as long as you earn my love. That's a secular definition of the promises connected to love. Well, thank God that Jesus Christ does not give promises like that. That the promise of his presence, the promise of the forgiveness of sins, are not contingent on us earning the very promise that he has given to us. When Jesus gives us a promise, he keeps it. He promises that he will never leave us, he will never forsake us, that he will be with us to the end. He promises his presence. He promised to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who would lead us into all truth. And Jesus Christ keeps his promises. Indeed, Jesus is called the yes and the amen of all of God's promises. And it's in this promise-keeping God that we find all comfort and assurance. Particularly this aspect of assurance is our focus today. Jesus Christ promises to remain with us. Christ, our good shepherd, as he promised, laid down his life for the sheep. A shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. But what about a shepherd that offers his flesh for the sheep to eat and his blood for them to drink? What about the promise that I will give you my body for food and my blood for drink? These promises are difficult for us to embrace and to receive, but they are necessary. And when we understand what Jesus is saying, what he is promising, we find that that dove of assurance grows in our hearts. So today we see that Jesus Christ is spiritually present as he promised when his people celebrate the Lord's Supper. Our catechism question and answer 78 begins by drawing a connection between the water of baptism and the signs or the pictures given to us in the Lord's Supper. Just as the water that is used in baptism does not change into the blood of Jesus Christ, so also the wine and the blood signify the wine and the bread signify the body and the blood of Jesus Christ without actually literally turning into that body and blood. The elements given to us are a token and confirmation that Christ has given, has broken, has shed for us that which is necessary to purchase the forgiveness of all our sins. Now there is a close connection between that which is promised and the picture and the thing that which is signified. They are so close, the bread and the wine and the body and the blood, they are so close that they are called, referred to as the same thing, but that does not mean they are to be confused. For example, children, let's say at school tomorrow, you are working on a project in art class and you open a magazine and you see a picture of an ice cream cone. And you say to your friend, "That looks good, doesn't it? I want that." Well, you know that in looking at the picture, you are not really referring to the picture, are you? You are referring to that which the picture signifies. We often point to signs which point to the things signified without being confused. It is the same thing in the Lord's Supper. Even throughout Scripture, Jesus gives us various pictures or analogies that represent him and his work. Earlier in John chapter 6, we looked at that last week, Jesus Christ refers to himself as the bread of life. If you still have your Bibles open, look what Jesus, what is said about Jesus in the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we are told that the Israelites in the wilderness, this is verse 3 and 4, drank from spiritual drink. They ate from spiritual food, and that which provided this spiritual food and drink for them was the rock, Jesus Christ. We could ask the question, was Jesus physically present in the food and drink that the Israelites received when they traveled throughout the wilderness? Well, we know that the manna that came down from heaven was a picture of heavenly bread. The water which sprung forth from the rock was a picture of heavenly drink or spiritual water. Jesus is referred to as being spiritually present in these opening verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So since it was part of the theme, part of the teaching, the instruction of, that the Israelites received, that this physical bread and this physical water were to be interpreted spiritually, pointing to the fact that true life is found not in drinking this water or in eating this food, they were to have their hearts, their minds focused on that which was necessary, which is Jesus Christ. And isn't that what Jesus also taught? Remember that woman by the well? He offered to that Samaritan woman, if you ask for living water, I will give it to you. And the woman is thinking, I'll drink water if I never get thirsty again. How are you going to get water out of this well? She was thinking about the literal physical water and neglecting the fact that Jesus himself would give the Holy Spirit, who is that water which flows to eternal life. The same thing found in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, Jesus was teaching the Jews that he is the bread of life. And the Jews are saying, how can this man give us his body to be the bread of life? Are we going to actually eat your flesh? But Jesus was here teaching. This is John 6, verse 53. If you do not eat the blood, if you do not eat the body or drink the blood of Christ, you will not have eternal life. Jesus was not commanding them to literally eat his body or to drink his physical blood, but he is rather saying you need to have a spiritual feeding, to be nourished, to be united, to have all of your needs and your wants provided for by Jesus Christ. He is saying that outside of me, you will not have life. You will not have that which is necessary to life, which is food and drink. And the only way that we can participate, the only way that we can be fed by Jesus Christ, is if we participate by faith, as we saw last week. Even in Matthew chapter 26, which we read earlier, with the institution of the Lord's Supper, Jesus Christ took bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body broken for you." He took the cup filled with wine, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant, my blood shed for you. Drink from it, all of you." Jesus did not break a piece of his body off. He did not cut his wrist and drain out blood into the cup. Yet there is a direct connection between the bread and the wine and the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So when we come to celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are using the words of the Lord's Supper sacramentally, that they are pointing us to that which Christ has illustrated for us. And we cling to the promise that just as surely, our catechism says, just as surely as bread and wine feed and nourish our bodies, so surely does Christ's blood and body feed and nourish us unto eternal life. When we participate by faith, there is something that is taking place. When we come to the Lord's table, we are actually receiving that which is promised. Christ says, when you eat my flesh, when you drink my blood, you are receiving my body and my blood. Your sins are being forgiven. Your souls are being nourished. This is a promise of God. It is something which God does for us and in us when we participate with the heart of faith. So that's what we mean when we say we are celebrating in the Lord's Supper. Christ is present as he promised, but the way in which he is present is spiritually, or by way of the Holy Spirit. We're going to see this in further detail next week, but just a little glimpse into that with Lord's Day 30, talking about the difference between our view of the Lord's Supper and the Roman Catholic view of the Mass. Is the way that we understand the Lord's Supper is Christ. Where is Christ? Christ is right now in heaven. Children, if someone asks you, where is Jesus? You know where Jesus is. He is at the right hand of his Father, reigning and ruling over all. But does that mean he is absent from us? Far from it. He is present with us by way of the Holy Spirit. And it's in His presence by way of the Holy Spirit that He gives us the gifts that He has purchased for us. So when Christ gives us the command to take, eat, remember, and believe, and He gives us the promise, when you do this in faith, My body and blood, which have been shed and broken for you, will feed you and nourish you, My blood cleansing you, and My flesh strengthening your souls. It's in this way that the Lord's Supper is different from all other pictures. In our first point, we saw that there is a connection between the picture and that which the picture points to. But when you tell someone that you want an ice cream cone, looking at this picture doesn't benefit you. In fact, it makes the situation worse. Your mouth might begin to water. You want more, but it doesn't bring you any closer, does it? The picture, just a picture of an ice cream cone, doesn't feed your body. It doesn't give you anything. Well, in this way, the Lord's Supper is different, because the Lord's Supper gives us that which is pictured. When we participate with hearts of faith, the Holy Spirit gives us that which the picture is pointing to. In other words, when you look at the bread and you hold the wine in the cup, and you say in your heart, I want that which is pictured, that which is signified. Christ will always give it. Christ will always give what He promises when you come to the table with hearts of faith. When we hunger and thirst, Christ is pleased to satisfy. This was one of the main problems in the city of Corinth, in the church at Corinth. That's we kind of looked at it last week a little bit. But when the saints, when the church was gathering together to celebrate the Lord's Supper, they were viewing the Lord's Supper as a normal meal. They were hungering and thirsting for earthly food and drink. And Paul says, if you are hungry for earthly food and drink, eat at home. Here, you should be hungering for the body and blood of Jesus Christ. You should be hungering for the gifts that Christ alone gives, and with the promise that Christ will give it when you come with hearts of faith. And that's why the Lord's Supper is so comforting. That's why it's such an encouragement. As question answer 79 says, it is a pledge. It is a promise. We have the assurance that Christ will give what He promises when we come to the Lord's table with hearts of faith. Yes, the Lord's Supper is a memorial feast. We do this in remembrance of Him. But it is also a means of grace. It is given to us to help us on our journey. Like the Israelites, we are traveling through the wilderness. We are traveling through the wilderness on the way to the promised land, on the way to that heavenly land of rest. And in order to strengthen us, in order to nourish us, to enable us to arrive safely at our eternal home, Jesus Christ gives us food and drink, so that we become weary and discouraged and downtrodden. And then Jesus comes to us and says, here, eat. Here, drink. Remember, believe. I have had my body broken. I've had my blood shed for you. Embrace and benefit. Christ is actively present, spiritually present, but actively at work. As He comes to us in the sacrament, He promises to give that which the Lord's Supper promises to give. He gives us assurance and comfort. Why is it so comforting? Why is there such an assurance woven together in the Lord's Supper? It's because at the Lord's Supper, we celebrate Christ's death, but also His victory. And that's why the Lord's Supper is a festive, joyful feast, because we celebrate, yes, Christ died, but He's not on the altar anymore. He is not on the cross. He is no longer nailed to a tree. His body is not in the grave. He is now in glory, where we worship and serve Him. And it's from that place of glory that He speaks to us. He tenderly calls us. He feeds us. And He provides for us. Real blessings. We are reminded of the real blessings that Christ gives us. the blessings of the forgiveness of sins, the comfort and encouragement of His presence by way of the Holy Spirit, of our unity with Christ, His unity with us, and our unity with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and yes, even a quiet conscience. A quiet conscience. So that when your heart is discouraged, when your soul is overwhelmed by the sins that you have seen and experienced and how you fell into temptation once again this past week, you come to the Lord's table with a heart of faith and you say, Lord, I don't deserve this. You have promised to give me forgiveness, not based on my earning. And that's why this is so radically different from the worldly definition of love and the promise of love. Jesus does not say, I will only love you and feed you if you earn it. He says, you can't earn it. You don't earn it. You continue to mess up, but here it is. And I give it to you freely. Take, eat, remember, and believe. Have your sins forgiven. Your anxious soul quieted. There is true and lasting fruit because Christ ever lives to intercede for us and to pour out His blessings. The earthly food that the Israelites received, if you still have your Bibles open, the earthly food, which was pointing them to spiritual food, did them no good, as 10 verse 5 says. God wasn't pleased with them. Why was God angry with the Israelites? It's because they didn't embrace the earthly food with hearts of faith. And thus missed out on the spiritual food. And then, what do we find? That they died in the wilderness. The beauty of the Lord's Supper is that Christ, by His Spirit, gives that which is necessary, which is faith. In order to benefit from the Lord's Supper, you have to have faith. And Christ, by His Spirit, gives us faith so that when we come to the Lord's table, we can say, not what my hands have done, not what I enable and am able to do, not my earning your promises, but Christ, you've done it all. And I embrace with hearts of faith. Christ really feeds us. So although He is not physically present in the elements, He is never absent from us. And He has a special added presence by way of the Holy Spirit when we come to the Lord's table with hearts of faith. The Holy Spirit is the means by which Christ's presence, and that's another aspect of this encouraging aspect of the Lord's Supper. Where can I go, David said, where can I go where your Spirit isn't? If I make my bed in the heights or the depths or the farthest reaches of the oceans or the sea or the farthest parts of the world, you're there. So Christ is present with His church by way of the Holy Spirit. And it's that fact that encourages, comforts, and assures our souls. To conclude, today we see that Jesus Christ is really, truly present in the Lord's Supper. He is present by way of the Holy Spirit. It is not Christ nor the elements that change. It is we who are changed by the Holy Spirit. Since Christ is spiritually present, we are assured that that which is promised by Christ will be given because He is faithful and He will do it. Christ said, "This is my body. Take, eat, remember, and believe." Christ said, "This is my blood, the blood of the covenant shed for you. Take, drink, remember, and believe. Believe in me. Trust my word. Cling to my one sacrifice for the forgiveness of all your sins." And after the supper, you depart. You depart having been fed, having been refreshed, having been strengthened, having been reminded and encouraged that Christ does not forsake His bride. His bride is going through the wilderness. Christ comes to them and gives them spiritual food and drink. Praise God for the one sacrifice for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Thank God for the communion that we have with Christ and with His people. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord's Supper, which reminds us of how Christ is present and the spiritual benefits that we receive because he is present by way of his Spirit. When we come to the Lord's table, O Lord, help us to see, help us to believe, and help us to receive that which is promised. O Lord, forgive us when we doubt, and we thank you for meeting us where we are, calling us, binding us to yourself with words of love and encouragement and even signs and seals so that we can be reminded that Christ has given his all so that we might be forgiven. And in his name we pray. Amen.